poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to the three-ring circus that is World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble poet and annoying ringmaster. I am J. Todd Underhill. On his, on my left-hand side and his left-hand side is... he is the lion tamer of the group. Although he substitutes poets for lions and he uses his quick as a whip mind... And he still says it's like herding cats. He is Michael Amade.
I've somehow been talked into walking what one poet referred to as the left-hand path. I had no idea what he was talking about. Actually, it's just more that I sit on the left of you. That's the only thing about me that's left.
And spin the spinner. We're going to go left-hand yellow. No, I'm just kidding. We're doing Twister and radio. And on his left-hand side.
That's awesome, by the way.
He is the bearded lady of our radio show. Woo-hoo! He's known as the Half Squatch.
Good evening.
Good evening. All right. So what I'm saying is we are an absolute circus of immense proportions, and we have three big tent posts, swing, that keep our mind afloat.
Good Lord.
And one of them is Nature Box. We're going to go over them real quickly. I'm not going to give them huge plugs tonight. Naturebox.com. Check them out. Their subscription service. Kinet Books. You're going to want to check them out if you want to learn anything. They're the place to go to. And, of course, you're going to want to check out HollywoodMemorabilia.com.
That's a good one, man.
Yes.
Did I tell you about my idea?
Mm-mm.
I mentioned it a little bit before the show. I think there's a multi-million dollar industry here, and it hasn't really been tapped.
All right.
So, you know how it's sometimes you want to get a book or something that's been autographed by the person who wrote the book or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or like a sport, like, you know, a football signed by the person who played.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's cool. But I think the thing that's really been untapped is what about having like an artifact like a book or a football signed by someone completely different who doesn't make any sense?
Oh, so you mean like get a football that's signed by like Shel Silverstein?
You know, see?
Could get a football signed by Shel Silverstein, now you'd be a rich man.
See,
I would.
You see what I'm talking about?
That would be incredible.
Right. Or you get a, what were we talking about? Like you get a book of James Joyce signed by Wayne Gretzky.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's
That is so unique.
It is.
And you could go see, like, look at my library. This is, you know, Michael Jordan's book signed by Pope Francis. Like, it's just really.
That would be really interesting.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's a whole thing. So I'm going to pitch it to him. I'm going to call him this next week and pitch it to him.
Okay.
Right. Merry Christmas, guys. Here's a great idea.
So the reason why I kind of brushed over our sponsors is we have a huge celebration. Michael has released a book.
Well, we have released a book.
World Poetry Open Mics Anthology. Well, you did all the work, dude. So you're going to want to check it out. It's right on the website as you came in. Get your copy. Basically, if you submitted your work to World Poetry Open Mic for our anthology, if you Google your name.
Or go on Amazon.
Get Amazon
look up
and check your name. You will be listed as an author on this book.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's some people we couldn't fit in for certain things. So it's not everybody, but all the people who definitely put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Philip, Barbara. Look it up. All
J.
you guys
Todd Underhill. If you Amazon J. Todd Underhill, you will now find him.
Yeah, you're all listed as authors on this.
Wow.
So congratulations to the people who made it. We're really excited to have it out there.
It is. It's a huge step for our radio program, and I'm very proud of everybody that submitted. And keep your ears to the radio because you never know when submissions are going to open again for another anthology.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to do it once a year.
At least once a year.
At least once a year.
Maybe we should do like spring falls collection.
No, because then we're getting into colors.
And no project with me in the fall, remember? Except for that poke album.
And I can't do dresses in the fall. I'm sorry.
You can't do dresses in the fall.
You can't wear white after Labor Day either.
No. Can't. I'm
sorry. Actually, I'm just going to do the opposite. I figure if people can't wear white after Labor Day, if I start wearing white, it'll be kind of like a chest thing. I'll really stand out.
You will.
No, your thing is you don't wear clothes after Labor Day.
Yeah, more's to pity.
All right, so what we do here is we do poetry. We want your poetry 1 to 3 minutes long. We want it free of the magical F-bomb and any hate speech. Please keep that to yourself. We have no room for it here on this show.
Amen.
We do want you to bring your best 1 to 3 minutes long. If you have a good flow going, we will let you go over by all means. So, if you haven't called the show yet, which nobody has, you can call 720-240-9766.
720-240-9766.
Call us. And meanwhile, we are back. We've got 5 of the best lined up for you. Taking one last minute phone call. Man, what a circus this is.
It is.
The Calliope's playing in the background. I've got my cotton candy and my popcorn, and I'm ready to listen to some amazing poetry.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Cotton candy, man.
Or the Calliope.
Well, it's the fact. Now, the Calliope, you know, I can handle.
Oh, okay.
The cotton candy, that's fine, too. But the 4 raccoons that followed you in because of that, that's a problem. By the way, if I get scratched, I'm totally blaming you during this show.
That's all right. We've got our home rabies kit. We'll be fine.
Restock that after the last time?
Yeah, I think we did.
Always.
Really? Oh, we always restock the rabies kit?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lesson, poets. Always restock the rabies kits in the radio studio.
Yes.
All right. So without any further ado, we would like to go to our first poet of the evening. Please welcome Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic. It's Friday night.
Hello, it's Friday night, and I'm glad you are with us. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing real good. We're real excited about the anthology that's just been released, and I wish you and the whole group the very best with it.
Michael's tracking it. We've already had some sales even.
We've had a few. I just wanted to see what the thing was. But Dennis, congratulations. You know, you're absolutely had to be included, and we're so happy to have you there. Thank you so much.
I am glad to be a part of it, and I hope it promotes the show. We get a whole bunch of new readers, and that'll be good for all of us.
Yes.
That's what we're working on it. We're working on it, Dennis.
Yes, I know you are. I have a poem tonight. I read it a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. But it's a poem that bears repeating. Chris from Lansing put up a challenge to writers to write about their writing process.
All right.
And I answered that challenge with this poem. And it's the title of it is Chris's Challenge. Chris challenged some poets to tell of their writing, of their process in writing. Sometimes the words flow well, other times there's no flame igniting. I hesitate to delve into analysis, 'cause poetry's a magical thrill to discuss how easy or hard it is might reduce it to a mechanical skill. With that being said, I forge ahead and ask, where does my poetry start? From external inspirations or from words in my head? Well, from both. Words bubble up from my heart. Who knows how the brain synapses flow? How electrical pulses translate into thought. From abstractions, articulate thought grows. Ideas from background to foreground are brought. A key word or might leap up, then catapult into space and blossom like spring with a passion. Words and phrases fall into their place in a poetic and stylized fashion. A final thought on my rambling words. Whether magical or mechanical, writing persists. Poetry despite process, will soar like birds. And thank you for asking this question here, Chris. End of poem.
Very well done. Liked it.
Solid as always.
As always. Bringing it, showing the way for other poets, as you always do, my friend.
Well, I think it's good when the poets interact, and we'd like to continue doing that amongst the ones that show up, and maybe new challenges will be issued. Yeah. I'd like to challenge the poets listening to invite someone new next week.
Yeah.
So that we can have some new voices and some new talent, and we can share the blessings that we find here in your show. And thank you so very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis. Always a true friend of the show.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
God bless. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
So, sorry, I had to pause before that. Good throw. You know, Dennis reminds me of, I saw a short lecture once. You ever watch TED Talks or any of those things?
Occasionally. I've been more into listening to poetry lectures and stuff online.
As you would. Absolutely. Yeah. I get it. So there's this one TED Talk by a guy named Derek Sievers who started CDBaby.com and all that. And he was talking about how a lot of times credit's given to the innovator of some new idea or some new movement, but actually the person who is pivotal in making it start to work is the second person or the first adopter of the new idea. So he actually shows this really funny clip of a guy at a concert. This one guy's just doing the ridiculous dance by himself out there. You know, everybody else is sitting down. And no real momentum happens until another person runs up and starts dancing with them like that. And that's when the crowd starts coming.
Yeah.
And for us, I would venture to say Dennis is that guy, and we're immensely thankful to him for
Dennis
that.
Dennis is the catalyst of the show.
Yeah, that's really what it hinges on, is the first people to really come in and own it and believe it's part theirs. And this show is for all of you, but Dennis was, I think, that first guy to come up, and I'm so happy he was.
And he still calls the show after 3 years, even though we're completely insane as we do this.
That's very true.
All right. And from Dennis, we're going to go to another longtime supporter. Please welcome from Lansing, Michigan. He was mentioned in the last poem. He is Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
Pretty good. And yes, people out there, I was the one that gave the challenge that Dennis was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So we were all staying at that particular moment. Group of us got together and we just did some talking.
That's great. That's great. I remember that challenge too. I remember. I think when it was issued on the was it issued on the show, Chris, or was that just something you said again on the air one time?
I believe it was said on the air at one time, but okay. It was also said within the room.
But
Jay Todd is a member of the Writer's Cafe, so he more than likely saw it as well.
To be honest, I've friended so many people on Writer's Cafe. My feed there goes so quickly that I miss some things. But yes,
exactly.
I like that laugh, by the way.
we're actually a huge fan of your laugh, Chris. We all are, in the best way.
Well, I appreciate that. It actually means something. Anyway, getting on with the show so somebody else can pop in. Writer's Cafe has two separate groups that organize a Christmas collaboration, as they call it. One of them is Tate Morgan, with whom you're well familiar.
Yes, I know Tate.
And another one's Emily Green.
Hmm.
Which you may or may not be as familiar. She's English, and Tate, of course, is from the U.S. Anyway, they both had asked me to contribute something to their two separate collaborations. I sent one to Tate. I sat down and wrote it out. And rather than send the same one to Emma Joy, I wrote something entirely new. right then on the spot. And it was a little bit longer than what their limits were, but they put the whole thing in the collaboration. So it was kind of nice of them.
Beautiful.
But, there's 66-plus poets from around the world that have contributed to the one Emma has posted on the site. And the main posting is called Peace on Earth, the 8th Annual Christmas Collaboration. If anybody wants to go there, it's worth being heard. So this is my part of that piece. And it's called 'Tis Always the Season. We were once the same children that cry today, and we cried for the same reasons as they do now. Being cold hasn't changed, and hunger still hurts. Always seeing what they haven't, and being told what they can't. Heads held down because homeless isn't just a stateless mind. It's every time they left everything behind. So even tomorrows are just more todays. Children fear what we feared and feel as we felt. And mamas still cry and daddies go away. And we all needed teddy bears to have an hug. And we taught ourselves how to really pray the prayers that meant something to us, because they were about each of us. Some of us got to grow up, and some of us have got to grow up, and some, well, they'll never grow. And some are all memories, tears shed over and over again. Remember your stars and what you prayed for, and help the little ones touch theirs as only you can. And maybe, well, just give the fears a lesson, and we can really look to heaven and smile. Anyway, go to the site and read Peace on Earth, anybody that cares to. It's available. And listen to the world, because there's so many people from everywhere in the world, and we all agree it's worth hearing and sharing.
Yes.
Anyway.
Chris.
As always, season.
As always, thank you for your contributions to our show. I am forever indebted to all the people that have gotten behind this weird idea that we had 3 years ago. Thank you very much.
Doesn't seem like 3 years, does it, Matt?
No.
Not at all.
It goes quickly.
Time flies when we're getting beat all the heck.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Anyway, today's life is important. There's a lot of news out there that needs to be listened to and heard, and people need to speak up about what they feel is wrong. Be heard, people. Come over here and say a few words. You know, we're here, and you're welcome to come in, too.
Absolutely.
Come in from the cold. Dang it.
Exactly.
Good message. I love that, Chris. Thank you.
Hey, you guys take care, and maybe I can catch you on the next go-around.
Hopefully we hear from you on the return engagement, yes.
You got it. Catch you then. Be safe.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Now, that's what I like about the show. You can, not only is it fun to hear the poetry thing, it's an educational tool. You learn about different cultures, different areas of the world through their poetry. like, you know, my Christmas tradition. I like to share that on occasion.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not the mistletoe belt buckle.
I think your mistletoe belt buckle is great, but it's really embarrassing to go out with you in public like that.
Yeah, you know, they swarm. Anyway, wow.
Mostly I'm just jealous. Okay.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah. So we do have another caller. Please welcome, calling from Vancouver, she is Cynthia.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on the anthology.
Hey.
All thinking. Congratulations to you, too. Yeah. You're in there.
Yeah, the cover looks beautiful. I ordered three already.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, goodness.
As soon as I saw it, I went to Amazon and ordered.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Cynthia.
So I have a winter poem for tonight. This is a tribute to the haiku master. It's a set of four haiku that go together as a poem, and it's about the frosty beach here. It's called Under a Winter's Night Sky. Slivers of starlight reflect off fragments of shell. Frosted sand sparkles like pink gossamer, diamond dragonfly wings, a new era dawns. The midnight echo of the foghorn signals in pine-scented moonlight. The divine within, birthing and surrendering like wind on the sea. End poem.
Very well done.
Thank you.
And the haiku master's sitting there nodding, giving his
good,
approval.
Good, I got his approval. They're hard to do, to make it fit.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the haiku master is so hard to please.
Cynthia, you're telling me.
Yeah. Cynthia, thank you very much. And, again, thank you for your contribution to our show.
Okay, thanks, and talk to you again soon.
Hopefully we will, yes.
Bye.
That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Now, I want to say thank you. You worked your tail off getting that book out.
Hey, thank you very
and
much.
And people are just loving it.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Like I said in the chat room, this was it's a little bit easier to put the time in when you know you're doing it for all the people who call in and everybody here. So this is really for us. And like I said in the chat room also, if you didn't see it, if you're in the book, I'll be emailing a PDF of the book, so you'll have a copy.
Like an e-copy.
An electronic copy of it. But I'll be emailing that within the next 24 hours.
There you go. Awesome. All right. And from Vancouver, we're going to journey across the country, back into the United States. Please welcome, from Connecticut, she is Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Well, I just want to, second what Cynthia said. I love the look of that anthology, and thank you so much for putting my work in there.
Thank you for submitting it, Barbara. It was great.
Yeah.
And I'm so honored to be with some of these people, together, like with Philip and Chris and whoever else is in there. So and Cynthia, it's just so nice to be in there, and Mariah.
It's like a family gathering between cover and cover.
It is. It's so beautiful. And thank you for mailing the PDF, Michael, because I don't know if I can, $15 is a lot.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's fine. Maybe you need to get yourself a Christmas gift.
Well, and most of that, to be fair, most of that goes to them printing the book and actually sending it. So, absolutely. As an author, you should have a copy of it, and that's something we definitely want to do. So the email will be there, there you go.
Thank you so much, really.
No
and
problem.
Especially, I know how expensive it is to publish, so it's like, it's really beautiful. And the print, the font is so gorgeous.
Oh, I'm
can't
glad
wait.
You like it. I'm glad you like it.
I'm going crazy. writers and fonts,
Barbara, I really know, Barbara. I really do know.
I once had a two-hour discussion with someone over fonts, so I really... Anyway, this kind of goes along with the season, and it's kind of from watching the Food Network. Anybody watching that holiday baking show on the Food Network?
By proxy, yes. My wife has it on all the time, and I'm watching it.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they made a croquembouche, and I thought about this poem. So here goes. It's called A Croquembouche of Peace. Seeing a croquembouche, you want to dig in and grab as many luscious cream puffs you can, filled with cream and laced with sweet caramel. They are a treat. And you savor each bite. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could build a croquembouche for peace? Each delectable puff, filled with compassion and held together by the honey and sweet thoughts of all the Earth's people, wrapped around in a lacing as well as placed on each puff. Then people could grab one and bite into it, tasting the burst of compassion that would surge through their bodies, landing in their hearts, and the sweet honey thoughts would settle in their brains, until pretty soon the world was filled with peaceful people, living their lives with each other and not engaging in the negative activities of war and terrorism, for those would be erased by the compassion placed in each puff. And as they ate of this delectable pile of goodness, these people would suddenly find the ecstasy of knowing happiness had been there all the time. And come.
Very well done. I enjoyed that piece.
I just thought, you know, well, what if we could do that? That would be so cool. And
yes.
If anybody doesn't know what a croquembouche is, it's all these cream puffs that are filled with cream.
Yeah.
And then they take these cream puffs and they put them together with a caramel sauce and they stick them together and they look like a triangle or a pyramid or whatever.
Oh,
really?
All the way up to the top. So you can see it on my page.
Really? Okay.
For wedding cakes and stuff. And they're incredible. And I thought, what if we could do that? Wouldn't that be incredible?
And this whole time I'm thinking, my wife's a professional baker. Why has she not made me one of these?
You're gonna walk in and go, honey, make me a croquembouche.
I'm just going to walk in. I'm going to hit the doorstep. I'm going to be like, croquembouche.
And that's all you say until she makes one.
Yeah.
Are you gonna come to bed?
Croquembouche.
Yeah.
Actually,
they're hard to make. I think you have to make a pate choux and then, you know, bake it and then stick the cream in. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Actually, I know my wife very well, and to be honest, when I walk through the door tonight, I will probably have a war cake ready for me when I walk through the door.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it is. She's a good girl.
Well, I'm gonna get off because there's other people after me, and just want to know how thrilled I am, and thank you for publishing my poetry.
Oh, awesome.
Our pleasure, Barbara.
Stay tuned. We're going to do the return engagement eventually tonight, and you might know the guy that's sitting behind you. In order.
What?
Okay.
I had to clarify that because Mike's like, stalker.
I instantly started hearing the theme from Psycho playing in my head. All right.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right.
Okay,
I'll get off. Okay, thank you.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry. Now, I got to say, when she started in with her poem, the inner 12-year-old in all of us were like, after dark poem?
Well, that, but I also, because I teach in a Catholic school, instantly thought, oh, yes, like on Mount Sinai, which didn't make any sense. I just heard the word, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
you heard about a burning bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know. But which this sounds much more tasty.
Yes, it does.
Now, the other thing that's really quickly has come up this week is that I've been, you know, you start singing a lot more Christmas songs because the kids are just starting to go crazy. You can't keep them. They're so excited about Christmas break and all. And why wouldn't you be?
I'm excited about Christmas break. Well,
see, I actually get one now. Yeah, that's exciting. But at any rate, we're singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The second grade on up go, Santa Claus is a stalker. And so somehow I, with one class, said, if you really want to creep people out, when you hug them, pretend to sniff them and go, you smell so much better when you're asleep. And it's spread across the school.
And,
yeah. And it's now all these kids are saying it to each other and it's getting really weird. I've got to learn to watch my mouth. That's the second thing this week. I'm not even going to go. Maybe later on I'll go to the first thing because it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But this one was pretty bad.
So I got to say, like Steve, one of our regular callers mentioned, we are having a pool on Mike's tenure at the Catholic school. I think I'm in good money if he's out by Martin Luther King Day.
Wow, then that's a little soon. I'm pretty good at my job. I just happen to say some pretty weird
things. Really off the wall.
like telling a bunch of 14-year-olds that they suck and there's nothing they can do. Yeah, those don't help.
Someone that doesn't suck, and there's everything he can do with poetry. Please welcome Philip from Kentucky.
Howdy, fellers.
Hello, how are you? Did you hear that epic introduction last week?
Yes, and it made me blush, but... Because actually, I'm a pretty shy person, believe it or not. I tend to spend my days quietly, and but I do appreciate the applause and et cetera, and... got me all foobarred now,
No worries, brother. I'm pretty shy too, and I have quiet days, but it's because they put me in this room where there's nothing but mattresses all over the walls.
Come on.
No, I appreciate that. I do. And I also, what I wanted to say at the beginning is I really appreciated the onomatopoeia piece that your father wrote. And I wanted to ask too, Mr. J. Todd Underhill, approximately how many poems did your father write before the Marines beat it out of him?
I'm not sure how many he actually wrote. I have my hands on officially 2 poems by him.
Okay.
So I try to space them out and do like one at the anniversary date and then one mid-March or so. The other one's called Armageddon. So I'll be doing that one probably Marchish. So.
Okay, well, I look forward to hearing it. I like the title too, Armageddon. Got my attention.
Yeah, he's he was a unique soul, and I couldn't get him to write. I tried to get him once my mother passed to start writing again, but just didn't work. But he would come to my live open mics and actually read like Ogden Nash, and he'd read just a plethora of poets he liked,
Right. I know Ogden Nash was quite popular with, I think, men of that generation,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it, and I just wanted to say that. And I'll get on with it, sir, to one of my classic titles. It's not terribly long this time, and this is actually an earlier one that I revised when I was living by my lonesome at the YMCA in Lexington. So it was just me and my books and solitude. So this is the title, A Literary Catalyst Transformed into Expressions, Influenced by a Recent Study of Ecology. And then to be hoity-toity, I've got like a little excerpt from Samuel Johnson, and it begins, "Total and sudden transformations of a language seldom happen. Conquests and migrations are now very rare, but there are other courses of change which, though slow in their progress, are perhaps as much superior to human resistance as the revolutions of the sky or the intumescence of the tide." And that's from his Dictionary of the English Language, and here it goes. "Words fly through imagined firmaments, ink-black fragility steadily migrating across pale eggshell whiteness into a reader's distant eyes, afar shores where interpretation collects its scraps and tatters, until a single nest, simple or complex, forms among numerous others in a vast neuronal wilderness. Creatures strange inhabit these synaptic habitats, dreams the most rarefied among them as they reveal desire through symbols indirect and comparisons queer. Weary-eyed paranoia, lean jackals, and sleep-deprived urges hunt sheepish herds of the commonplace grazing along penumbrous plains. And from a great, though unspecified, height, identity gazes down at this mental biome, discarding what is irrelevant and incorporating the new by means it hardly comprehends." And there it is, fellers.
Nice. Now, Philip, I have slight but friendly beef with you, okay? Those titles,
yes,
they're a nightmare to put into a table of contents. it like takes up half the page, man. What is this? No, thank you for...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say thank you for your contributions. It works great. It was just, it would make me laugh as I was going through and formatting this. Just like, damn it, Philip. Really?
Well, that is the kindest backslap I've ever received.
I knew that you would appreciate that. Yes.
Well, I did. I do appreciate it, and it looks really handsome. And thank you guys for all the hard work. And I know that celebrates all my other fellow poets, and I really look forward to reading everybody else's work. And that's just a really it's a great thing you guys have provided for us. And thank you so much. And I look forward to the return engagement.
Yes.
Oh yes. So are we. Looking forward to hearing you again tonight.
Cheers.
Philip.
Cheers, Philip. Thank you.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. So, that's five callers, which means we're going to be doing another segment.
Which is exciting.
But you have a submission, don't you?
I do. When do I not, is the question.
Well, you've got enough submissions. I don't even have to read tonight. I can take the night off.
Yeah, but, you know, I still might force you into it a little bit later. All right.
Reading. Right.
Oh, yes, reading.
Yeah, that really came out wrong.
Yes, again.
Okay. And again, yes, well done.
Yeah, surprise. A little bit later. Maybe the next segment I'll tell about my biggest mess up of the week.
Well, yeah, that was
you guys.
Classic.
And that's 100% real. All right.
Did you want to do one in one this segment then? Or?
Yeah, let's do that. All right. Okay, so I'm going to do one here. This is from Ilhim Issawi, who's from Tunisia. It's a Tunisian poem, and this is called Feathered Melancholy. The sky today hath started to cry, and its soul, despondent as ever and diaphanous, I contemplate it, my lost soul, like a listless gossamer, a salivant murmur, soaring like dandelions, a defoliated tree, clad in melancholy. How I yearn for thee, thy bliss and wonder, all hath faded away like feathers of a fairer dove. Irrational wind, how much do I owe thee for intensifying my calamity? And that is from Ilhim Issawi. It's from Tunisia. It's called Feathered Melancholy. I'm getting schooled by a Tunisian poet in my pronunciations, man.
That came through our contact form.
That came through our contact form. That's right. Ilhim, seriously, man, you're schooling me here. This is good. I like the challenge. Thank you for your poetry. Thank you for your work. And please do not hesitate to send us more work. We'd love it.
Awesome. All the way from Tunisia, too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to share with you one I wrote actually today. You know, some of my best thinking comes while I'm in the shower. And the first two lines of this came to me in the shower. And the rest of the poem is written slowly over my work day. This is entitled, Of Smart Women. If they made women's perfumes smell like classic literature, I would be all up on that shit for sure. Voluptuous women or nubile lasses, dressed to impress, modesty with glasses. Nothing earns this poet's respect like a well-read woman endowed with intellect. Everything about this quirky little talk has me stimulated. My brain is as hard as a rock. You can keep your model type vapid tart. I like my women witty and smart. Call these ladies dorks, geeks, or nerds. With a vocabulary bursting forth with words. Most judge a woman by their weight or looks. I judge mine by their chosen music or books. Chosen music and books. You can have your ladies at the club dressed like a whore. I prefer mine dressed divine at a museum or bookstore. Men who worship the chest, thighs, and ass are to me insane. For after the looks fade with age, you can still love a beautiful brain.
So why don't you just...
Yeah.
So here's a question. Would you date a female brain without a body attached?
Yeah, probably.
That's weird. But I sense a whole set of poetry coming out of that.
There you go. All right.
Didn't we have a movie about that?
Was there a movie about that?
Creature from the Atom Brain? No.
Oh, The Man with Two...
The Man with Two Brains.
Oh, is that... Oh,
Steve
you know
Martin.
What?
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. My father, when I was a kid, would, I think, continuously rent that every week and forget that he had rented it the week before. I think it happened about 6 or 7 times. My mother was like, it's the same movie! Stop it!
You know what my parents did? I was a young Steve Martin fan. Now, I got turned on by the song King Tut.
Yep.
So I became a Steve Martin fan, and my parents took me to a mall. They had to go do some shopping. They put me in a movie theater to watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, left me by myself, went to their shopping. And the manager of the theater's like, that was inappropriate for your kid. You can't do that to him.
That is. Yeah. That explains so much.
It does. Doesn't it?
It really does. Oh my gosh.
All right. So that does it for that segment. If you have not yet called our show and you want to share poetry, even if you've never called our show before, this is the number you're going to dial, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Don't delay. Call today. CW McCall, we had just come up with the Next Evolution of Poetry Radio call tag, and he obliged us by doing that take for us during that phone call. I'm like, and that was before the splash was even around, and then JT found a way to just throw the splash in over the top of it. Great job.
Thank you.
That, you know, the miracle of audio editing.
No, that's, yeah.
Well, nowadays, it's much easier than it used to be. Hey. Yeah. So
I like to think of it still as a miracle. I'm working magic over here, man.
Oh, okay.
That's why he calls it FM.
That was good. I like that one.
Because right. AM is amateur? Oh, wait, no.
Yes. What is this, amateur hour? No, it's AM radio.
Sorry. You were going to say something, I think.
No, now we're a couple of hams radio. Oh, anyway.
God. That's a lot of ham for two eggs.
I actually thought that thought today, but we'll cover that during the next break.
No. Yeah,
all right. So we do have three lined up, which means that triggers our return engagement.
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 Yeah, man, I'm really liking these high quality sound effects we got going on here.
We spare no expense for our listeners.
That, you know. That $5 we spent really paid off.
Hey, don't knock my $5.
I'm not. Hey, man, this mic clip costs that.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So, going all the way out to New York, please welcome. Please welcome. I love that sound to edit. Lorraine.
Oh, my God, what a vibration. That is great.
I'm telling you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to put that on tape.
Oh, wait till you hear the replay. It's amazing.
Listen, I have an issue with you guys, because when you thanked everybody on you know, the coming back in 3 years, I was hoping I would have been mentioned. JT.
Yeah. That wasn't his fault. That was all me.
No, I didn't. My name was not there, and I said, I really feel snubbed.
Were you on our three-year anniversary show?
I thought you
missed that week.
Yeah, I was about a year and a half into guys.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. All right, well, first of all, Lorraine, this is Michael. That's entirely my fault.
Oh,
but
Michael,
second of all,
Michael,
were you there? Oh, stop cussing at me. No, you hit the ringer with your cheek.
Furry, you know, bastard.
I am a large furry bastard. Thank you very much.
I have an issue with you, but that's on the keyboard. That's not here. I really. I don't know why my name wasn't included, but I feel like I was omitted.
Yeah,
you're not omitted.
You know that feeling, Michael?
I will say, you know.
Do you know that feeling, Michael?
I do. I do know what it's like to be not picked on the dodgeball team. I will say, the thing, Lorraine, is it wasn't on purpose. Well, maybe it kind of was. You know the thing?
Basically,
it was totally on purpose. But I didn't mean it in a bad way, really. I mean,
met me, and you're excluding me.
I get kind of grumpy sometimes. I know. I'm sorry. Actually, Lorraine.
Eat a Snickers, Michael.
Lorraine.
Because when you don't eat a Snickers, you end up like Donald Trump.
I feel like, yes, that's true. I start saying crazy things.
I'm not moving on from that one.
Boycott sandwiches. Boycott them all.
Okay.
You owe me time on air. You
really? Well, you're getting it right now, so enjoy it. Knock yourself out.
You just used it all up with that tirade.
I could never do what you guys do, you know, like with the microphones.
We can never do what we do.
Have you heard this show, Lorraine?
I don't know what you do off time, but I could never what you do, but I know what you do when you do it.
Oh, yeah?
And I think it's awesome.
That sounds like a lot of do.
You're doing it in lots of other people.
A do-run, run, run.
The do-run, run. You know?
No, thank you, Lorraine. Thank you very much for the compliment.
You're very welcome. Okay, I'll get down to visit. This is a very short thing that I'll condition you to. And I wrote this in one of my dark hours. It's called If. If. Okay. IF. If I could take back the words that scarred you, that left you damaged, I would. I'd let them burn into me like they did you. I would welcome the pain. I would even embrace it. And maybe, just maybe, it would change this moment, this hour, this day, our lives. And poems. Is that a really conscientious clap? Or
I was very aware. In fact, that was the sound of two hands clapping by themselves in the middle of the forest.
The sound of one hand clapping is really different. I know that.
But if you had two hands clapping in different parts of the forest, it actually creates a suction. Yeah, totally different.
Oh, suction.
Suction. That's what I'm all about in the forest. And that's what causes fall. That's how it works right there. And that's why I hate sandwiches. And that's why we should boycott them all.
If you're Chernobyl, you can actually make three hands clap.
What is the sound of three hands clap? What is the sound of no hands clapping? There you go. What, you know, if, you know, a tree falling in the forest. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it fall, I think you do. I think it makes a noise.
You know, I think that's a physical, scientific and physical certainty that probably
happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
absolutely.
If a man says something in the middle of a forest alone, is he still wrong?
Most of the time, yes.
Yes.
You know what I figure, Lorraine, there are certain questions that eventually they ask that have no answer, that the answer, like, what is the sound of no hands clapping? Basically, it sounds like me slapping whoever asked that question. That's usually the answer.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is so homebound. You know, that's like 49 shades of gray. I love it. I love it. I'm gonna go through this in real fast. This is Merritt Malloy, and I love her. A song for my father, and I know this is above roof. I have to do it.
What?
A song for my father.
What?
Charlie.
What? Huh? We do one poem for a phone call.
I know. You're not going to let me do this. Okay.
We got to let you do it. We let everybody else do it.
Yeah. And just brood until you pick me up again.
Lorraine, we love you so much.
Yeah.
We named a quiche after you.
And you know what? You're a poet. You're used to brooding. You'll write great poetry because of it.
I'm brooding.
Okay. We're brooding like a boy band over here. So we'll talk to you in the return engagement. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Okay, bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Was that an evolution? She's good. I think it was just kind of the mixture of all of us. That was a weird conversation, man.
I've had a lot of those today, actually.
That conversation was what The Wiz is to the Wizard of Oz movie.
Which one?
Yeah, which one? The one with Michael Jackson or the one without Michael Jackson?
I didn't see the one with Queen Latifah. I couldn't. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about that. I just didn't sit down and do it. I just didn't have the time.
Enough about The Wiz. We got to ease on down the road. Please welcome from Michigan. He
is Gregory. Did you really just do that?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, Gregory.
Oh, good. The best part's going to be. We get to relive it, hearing him hear it on the air. Way to go.
Gregory, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, welcome to our show.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Doing fine, thank you. It's nice to be on the air with you tonight. You guys are having so much fun. Kind of makes me wish I was there with you.
Yes.
Hey, we're having a great time. Eventually, we're going to have a studio set up where people can come visit us when they're passing through Denver.
Oh, that'd be nice.
It'd be a lot of fun.
I heard a lot of nice things about Denver, Colorado.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Most of them are lies.
No, they're
totally
not.
Kidding. Totally kidding.
Denver's beautiful, especially if you get to come in late.
Michigan isn't too bad either.
Let April, late April into May, beautiful.
Okay, that's the best time? Okay.
That's the best time.
Okay. Well, this evening I wanted to share a poem with you guys entitled Kind Words. And what inspired me to write this poem is I usually go to funerals and I hear all these nice things said that the deceased party perhaps never heard. So I just wanted you guys to hear this poem from my heart. Try kind words. Such kind and special things were said as I lay in my funeral bed. And through each kind word, I wondered why. Why did they wait till I physically died? As God let me listen in, I heard I love you time again. And those I didn't think that cared said times were special that we shared. And the ones that did me wrong, why, they cried apologetic songs. I looked to God in deep dismay and asked him, why did they delay and keep from me until I died? Kind, loving words that better lives. Well, my son, he said to me, for some it takes demise to see and free emotions that were trapped due to pride and things like that. But little do those people know, when they don't let their feelings show, they can hurt themselves or be deprived, and sometimes they regret their lives. So this poem is for those with late confession. I hope this poem can be a lesson, because it's too late when they're on deathbeds. So never leave kind words unsaid. And that's my poem.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done. I really like that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Ooh,
thank you.
Gregory,
thank you.
Very, very thank profound so poem for this evening.
Yes. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gregory.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling, man. That's great.
Okay. Thank you. Have a blessed one. Take care.
That
I'll be calling back soon.
Awesome.
All right.
That was Gregory on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah.
Wow.
So let's let that sit there and marinate for a moment.
Kind of we're letting things marinate right now, but I really got an itch. Do you think I can, just on the side of my face, I just don't know what's appropriate in the marination phase.
Go ahead, because I got to flip this thing over anyway.
All right, here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's better.
Good.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Wow,
sorry.
Our numbers just dropped. Everybody
didn't think I took some acid again, and I haven't done that in 20 years.
That's what we're here for. This was a slow descent into you thinking you've just been on acid for the last 2 years.
Surprise! Sorry.
All right, I'm going to share that other poem. We got one more.
We got one more.
I'm going to cue that one up.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to share that, and then I'll do a submission after you.
That sounds fair.
Okay.
All right, so we do have one more caller, though. Please welcome, again from Michigan, this is Samantha.
All right, so we do have one more caller. Please welcome, again from Michigan, this is Samantha.
Samantha,
hi, how are you?
Hey, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm glad you clarified where that itch was.
I'm glad Michael clarified where the itch was, too.
It was, yeah, I know. I said it, and I thought, you know, I probably should clarify. It's just on the side of my head.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, I'm still not sure what I want to read tonight.
I would suggest poetry, seeing as how the name of the show is World Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah, I've got my book open here. Okay. I know what I'll do. I'll do a little lonely one here. A friend of mine from Facebook left two words on her post one day, and the two words really struck me, and I ended up writing this. The name of the poem is Sarah's Song, and her two words were, so alone. So here's the poem. So alone. Did I hear that in my head, or did it gush unwittingly from my lips, exposing me, pointing a telltale finger at me? If I look up now, will I see the scrutiny of strangers, their grimace confirming my isolation, sending me ever deeper inside, where I take my refuge behind walls erected long ago, walls derived of dread and pretense, walls meant to conceal and protect, but ultimately serve only to bind and restrain me. I hold no illusions that white knights or Prince Charming will ride in to rescue me, sweeping me off my feet, cradling me in strong arms. No, I've been down that road. The excitement of that first glance, that first attraction, that illusion. It's vacant and fleeting. It cannot be trusted. Yet, I still long for that thrill. I try in vain, stepping out from the shadows, heart open, searching for companionship, for love. And finding none, I drift through long days, holding fast to the threadbare line that suspends me between breaths, inhaling dreams along the way and watching them melt into nothingness. I await the next breath, the next love, alone. That's it.
Very well done.
Thank you very much, Samantha. Thanks for your work, and thanks for your contribution to the anthology as well.
I'm excited about that. I can't wait to pick one up.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll be, I don't know if you saw the message earlier, I'll be emailing a PDF to everybody who was in the book as well within 24 hours. So you'll have a PDF copy as well.
Excellent. Okay. No, I didn't hear that yet.
Okay. So, yeah, I wanted to make sure you knew that. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Have a good evening.
You as well. That was Samantha on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution in Poetry Radio.
Yes. All right. So, you want to read your poem? I told him that I would tell my story about my
Well, let's have you tell your story. I'll do my poem, and then you can do the submission.
Okay. Is that going to ruin the tenor of your poem?
No.
All right, so...
Come on. What was I on when I wrote that poem? Never mind. Whatever.
That's right.
Just
okay.
Go for it.
I forget. Okay. So I go into school Monday morning. Pretty empty. It's pretty early. There's still some kids around, and this third grader comes up to me, and I asked her how her weekend was. And she says, well... It was okay. I wanted to play. My cousins came over and I wanted to play with them, and they wouldn't play with me, so I ended up just playing by myself. And I was trying to make her feel better, and it's early in the morning, and I'm not totally, you know. And so I go, you know, I totally understand. In fact, some of the best times I had as a kid was playing with myself. Now, of course, she doesn't get it. She's a third grader, right?
Yeah.
But I turn around, the Spanish teacher's just looking at me, which
eyebrow
is a
raised,
huge
probably.
Smile on her face. She goes, oh, really? And so that has been, for the rest of the week, it has just been nothing but that. They even told my mother. That was great. My mother came in to play piano for me.
It's nice of her.
Even told my mother. Yeah, I know. It was very nice of her. It was cool. It was a good week to be able to spend with my mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doing Advent Christmas programs and stuff. Had my last one today. There's been so many in the last few weeks.
Whew.
I feel like I can take a breath out.
There you go.
That's good.
Just relax.
But anyway.
Enjoy some poetry.
One of my favorite things to do when growing up was playing with myself, apparently. So there you go.
Not much has changed. Just kidding. So this one, I'm going to read not only the poem, but what I put afterwards, but you guys will understand it. This is entitled Rainbow. Rainbow. Up in the sky, help me, Lord, I wonder why, today, today. Rainbow above my head, help me, Lord, I'll wind up dead, today, today. Rainbow following me, help me, Lord, I cannot see the end, the end. Rainbow, colorful bead, help me, Lord, with what I need, a friend, a friend. Rainbow in the morning sun, help me, Lord, am I the one who knows, who knows? Rainbow beyond my sight, I cannot see you in the night, who knows, who knows? Rainbow up in the sky, help me, Lord, I'm asking why, I alone. Rainbow, please hide away, save it for a better day, I alone, I alone. And here's my author's note on this one. Admittedly, that poem was written while under the influence of lysergic acid, the thalamide, and one of very few that were legible enough for me to put into the computer. I had not taught myself any form back then. Looking back now, after learning the Kiriel form, I'm amazed at how similar it is. And it's true. I was looking at it going, did I write formed poetry before I knew formed poetry? What the hell?
Well done.
So evidently, when you trip acid, you learn poetry forms.
Don't.
I don't. No,
don't
no.
say
I don't
that on the
that
air.
For anybody.
We have kids listening to this thing.
Yeah, I don't. No. No. Right. Just don't do it to yourself.
Yeah. No.
It's true, yeah. actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, you have a submission for us.
I do.
To pull us out of that tailspin I put our plane in.
Nah, you're okay. yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. This is from a longtime poet on our show, kind of a favorite, Steve Jonka.
Nice.
And let me get it queued up here. It's called I Am Glad. I am glad. I am glad the path has not all been for me, smooth and roses, only summer skies to see. Glad I have not known only the easy way. Glad that in the hour of gloom I learned to pray. I have found the great companionship. When sad, I am glad. I am glad that with the sunshine and the flowers there have come those heavy, lonely, searching hours when my soul, that it might see and feel and know, had to delve and seek and struggle, had to grow. Light and laughter are not all that I have had. I'm glad. Glad am I for those who never suffer pain, cannot know life's richest blessing, highest gain, cannot understand the needs of human hearts, cannot take their places in life's busy marts. For the sunshine and the shadows I have had, I am glad. And that actually, now that I've read down to the bottom, is by Wilna Winteringham, Walking with Wonder in 1962. He's, and so Steve actually sent it to us. He says he bought this book at a flea market, most likely. It doesn't sound like he even remembers.
Yeah.
Mrs. Winteringham also included in this book some wonderful sketches she made of nature and things you would see on a countryside walk. Well.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Steve. And thanks for exposing us to it. I didn't even see that because it was joined with the some of the verse down at the very bottom.
Yeah,
so,
but no, that's very cool.
That's very cool. Thank you, Steve.
And that's what we're about here, is sharing in poetic thought. And yeah. I thank you for your submissions always, Steve Jonka. Is it Jonky or Jinky?
I think it's I want to say it's Junk.
Okay.
But it's J A N K E. So Janky Junk. I could be.
We'd like for you to call the show and share one of your pieces live too. So if you're hearing this,
or at least just send a phonetic spelling in an email or something.
There you go. That'll work too. All right. Well, man. My night's not over. Your night's not over. We got the return engagement.
Engagement.
Okay.
That was the cheap version.
The abbreviated version. So if you've called the show before and want to share poetry again, or if you haven't called the show yet and you want to slide in under the wire before we close up shop, call us.
And if you want, you can do what Steve did and send in a cover.
You can.
Or call a cover. True.
You can call in with a cover.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
We had a guy call in one of our first shows and read a Katy Perry song while listening to it on YouTube in his headphones. That was
really
weird.
Impressive.
Mickey from Denver.
It was Mickey.
Yeah,
Mickey.
So, all right. So, you're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Call it. Yeah. One bad monkey. That was fun having him at the studio, too.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I remember that was a. That took a while to get him in.
Yeah,
but once we got him in there, I think it was a surprise.
Yes,
when he finally showed up, he's a rock star. You know, that's how it works.
That's how he works. That's how he rolls.
He rolls when he rolls. You know.
All right.
He blows where the wind takes him.
Thank you for saying it that way, as opposed to he rolls when he rolls, and he. But good job.
Yeah,
thank you.
See?
Thank you.
See?
Well done.
Sometimes the brain works.
Yeah, that's a good filter you got.
It's the first time I think I've ever heard someone say that.
I think this is the first time your filter's ever worked, actually.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Yes. All right, so we do have six of the best lined up for you, including a new caller to the show for this final segment. We're going to kick things off the way we kick the show off. Please welcome Dennis from Michigan.
Oh, yes, I'm back representing Michigan, and there seem to be a lot of good Michigan poets on tonight. I'm glad to see Greg and Samantha both calling in, sharing their poetry. They are both, we are all part of a writer's group, a local writer's group, and I'm glad they're calling in now, too.
I'm really enjoying their work, too, so thank you for It's pointing them our direction.
Yes, well, that's the least I could do. I have a farm poem to share with you this time, a poem I wrote a little bit ago. The title is, I Had a Dream That I Could Fly, and it's written in the monotetra form.
All right.
And it goes like this. I had a dream that I could fly. I grew some wings, but I don't know why. I left the ground, aimed for the sky. I say goodbye, I say goodbye. I'm like a kite without a string. I'm free of this I sing. What joys will this adventure bring? This airborne thing. Over the mountains, rainbows too. I see great sights, they all are new. Fly through the clouds and feel the dew. A matchless view, a matchless view. But all good things do surely end. Back to the earth I will descend. In your own dreams, just try it, friend. I recommend, I recommend. End of poem.
I love that form. I might have to give that one a try. You said monotetra form, right?
Monotetra, yes. It's a fun form to write, and yeah, I know you'd have a good time with it.
Awesome. I might give one of those a try this week, actually.
All right. Sounds great.
Dennis,
well, thanks again for letting me read, and I'm looking forward to the next poets that are coming up.
Thank you,
and
Dennis.
Thank you for providing this platform for us. We owe you a debt of gratitude, and I want to keep reminding you that we are very appreciative of what you do.
Thank you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Sweet. It's very nice of him.
Yes. Yeah. Michael works his tail off.
Yes, he does.
For the show. You work your tail off for the show. You know, it would be work if I didn't enjoy it so goddamn much.
Fine.
So, it's not work. It's
well,
it's
you lazy ass. Why don't you pick it up and step up with the rest of us? Start hating something for a change.
No, serious. I really don't consider work. It's something that I love to do. I love hearing the poets from all over the place share their work.
Yeah.
I'm up those hours anyway, so why not do something with them? So.
Very good.
Otherwise, I'd just be sitting playing Bejeweled Blitz or Slotomania or something like that. Wait, never mind.
There's a thing I had done at one point. I might start doing it again, which is every time either one of you guys posts a notification about playing Bejeweled or whatever, I'm going to actually comment it just really enthusiastically. Just, yes!
You know, most of mine are accidental now.
Yeah,
are they
most
really?
Of mine are accidental.
I was like, oh, I'm not meaning to post these things.
Like, he just got, you know, whatever. Woohoo!
Actually, there is someone that listens to the show that does that too.
Oh, really?
All my posting shows.
Oh, no kidding. I was thinking, or even doing video responses. JT, I'm completely blown away by the amount of diamonds you have just made in the jewel.
I can totally see that.
Oh. Wow, that would really get my morning going.
It'd be like prune juice, but for your humor.
That's right.
Someone who's always a diamond, please welcome, calling from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Howdy, fellas.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I want some extra guacamole and a side order of Condoleezza Rice.
Well, I'm good with the guacamole, but I don't know about the other part.
I have no idea what that means.
What does it mean? I don't even know.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Story of my life.
Put me in the penalty box, JT, please.
You know, I'm actually, believe it or not, you know there's that the game 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon? I'm actually 1 degree to Condoleezza Rice. That's not a joke, actually.
Wow.
That's real.
One degree, huh?
1 degree. 1 degree.
Well, I'm glad you guys were such a, you know, so indulgent with me. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I'm very protective of my my one steps to, you know, people. I was drawing really hard because I actually am one step, you know, removed from Condoleezza Rice as far as, you know, as an acquaintance. But I was really, I was really resisting saying the just add water part. So I'm
Wow.
Well, and now I said it. So, and I just blew it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yes.
We here at World Poetry Open Mic would like you to know that Michael's thoughts and comments are truly his own and do not represent the entire radio show.
You know what's awesome is when Jay Todd is trying to manage the publicity for something I said.
Yes.
That's when we know it's really come off the rails.
Right. And I think this illustrates exactly why I say random stuff like that, because who knows where it's going to lead to.
Exactly.
Right.
Keep it coming. I love it.
Yeah, pray. Talk about spontaneity. Well, I will get to it, and I don't know if any of you fellows ever do this, but back in the day, I think I was in my 20s when I wrote this, and I purchased a pass for our city bus transit, and I used to just ride around Lexington with no destination whatsoever. I just used to ride the entire circuit. You know, I don't know why, other than just to observe people, watch people, and scribble and read, and I don't know. It was somehow beneficial and soothing to me, so at any rate, the title is a short one, Notes Between Transit. And here it goes. Sit in the city bus terminal, going nowhere particular, just riding through winter streets, blue, red, green, and soon the yellow line, as I lug a thick philosophical tome while watching random people carry on with their lives. Take pause from a confusing compound truth function to notice the explicit graffiti about men and women and how they propagate, replenish the human condition, onward our collective story. Witness a bag lady saunter by, rickety shopping cart, stuffed with bulging black garbage bags. Briefly imagine she's transporting dismembered corpses to somewhere else. Cautiously slow traffic through the dirty slush, while above, an ashen gray sky that promises more snow. Glimpse something about Kant's categorical imperatives. Treat people as an end and not a means, though everyone has an agenda. Finally, my dollar lift arrives, headed out to Broadway and Mercy. Resume my gazes at a window seat, jotting daily lines no one reads. There it is, fellas.
Back then, they may have been daily lines that no one reads, but we enjoy them to no end here on this show.
Well, I truly appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot. And, you know, I don't want to speak for my fellow poets, but there have been some lonely hours in my life. And I really think it was art, poetry, and the ability to write that, you know, got me through those dark times. So,
I'm with you, brother. And
yeah.
Each time it gets dark, I end up spending a lot of time writing.
Yeah, it really helps. And I'm sure, I don't know about you, Mr. Amade, but I'm sure music has been similar to you, and also writing. I mean, you're a multi-talented sir.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all can identify with that, you know, I say it and people laugh, but it's true. I've given up music about 10 times. I really said, that's enough. This is all self-indulgent. I don't know why I do this crap. And I do. And then I give it up, and I realize suddenly later on I go live, and then I have to process something. And the only way I do it is by writing music. And I can't imagine what it would be like to not have that outlet like we do.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to exclude you, Mr. JT Gunter. I'm sure that you, the haiku master. I don't know that you ever get depressed, though, sir. So.
Yeah, he's got to unlock.
Yeah,
I try.
he's just kind of like a nice simmer all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
great for boiling carrots
or rice.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to next Friday.
Hey, thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Philip.
You too.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers, Philip.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Radio?
Maybe. We don't get
on
our
the radio
over all that. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to turn that into a country song, you know. On the radio. Yeah, I got to figure that out. I got to learn to yodel.
It's a work in progress.
I got to learn how to yodel first. I've had the best people in the country try to teach me, and it doesn't work.
Really? You can't? It's hard.
I have a guy who's in the Smithsonian as a yodeler. He's considered one of the best in the world, and he couldn't even get me to do it.
How do you get into the Smithsonian as a yodeler?
I don't know. You should ask
hey,
David.
Hey, it's a national treasure.
You should
that
ask
point.
David Bradley. He actually has a video on how to yodel that he made with Roy Rogers.
Okay.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yep.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I know.
You know some talented people.
And that's why he's in the Smithsonian.
We know some talented people, too. We have a talented person on the line from Vancouver. Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
It's a wonderful second half. Very entertaining.
I was afraid we were just a little over the top there.
The right mix for the second half. My second poem tonight is dedicated to my soul sister, Melvina Germain, who's listening from Calgary, Alberta. She's a fabulous poet, and she's tuning in, and I hope she'll be reading one Friday night soon. And this is called Renewal. Healing majesty of the ocean at dawn, cocoon of rhythmic eternity, translucent turquoise, saltwater waves, how strong your presence in us can be. Touched by the afternoon light, rich buttercup yellow swirls amid shades of green, the sun upon our dreams. Evening arrives and cool releases the earth, like the peaceful bliss of resting beside a sleeping child, the little hands turned inward to our heart as if in prayer, the quiet of the breath, rain on the skylight, moonbeam on the sea, and the poem.
Nice.
Heck yes.
Thank you. Such a day at the ocean.
I'm telling you, that line, rain on the skylight, just brought back memories. I grew up in coastal California, and one of the people that we'd go visit on a regular basis had skylights, and when the rain would hit it, it made this very unique sound that you can't replicate.
Beautiful. I used to work as a nanny a long time ago when I was putting myself through the teaching program, and so all these families would have you come into their home, and one of them had a skylight, and I can't believe I got paid to do this. Like, my job was to lie in this amazing bed and hang out in this really cool room and read stories to kids, and they had the skylight with the rain on it. And so the little kids would just be going to sleep with the rain falling on the skylight after a nice day playing outside.
Yeah.
Just heavenly.
It is. That's got to be a cool job, reading to kids for a living.
Yeah. I loved it. I might even go back and do it just because, like, people invite you into their house. You play with all, you know, you go to their house, play with all their toys, have fun, eat all their food. They pay all the bills. They pay you. You go home.
Wait, how do I get one of these jobs?
Well, you break into a house. Wait,
I don't think
sorry,
that's
that, was not,
path,
that was
not, that
was, I'm sorry. That's called a life hack. Yeah, yeah, maybe we're not ready for that. We got to do it the long way.
There we go.
All right. Cynthia, thank you for calling our show as always.
Thanks.
Thank you, Cynthia.
That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry.
Why do I feel like I just derailed that entire romantic speech? I mean, because that was a really beautiful imagery. And of course, the whole time you're talking about how you can't replicate rainfall on a skylight, I'm thinking, well, you could just get the thing the skylight's made out of and just put a hose up there and kind of angle it. You could
it's
absolutely replicate that
it's
sound.
It's not the same.
It just doesn't come off the same. It's a terminal velocity thing, dude.
Oh, it's about terminal velocity. So yeah. What if we had a plane that somehow had a hose, and we could be, or a helicopter,
and we
could hover above, right? Tell me, there's some way to replicate
it. It's very difficult just to sit there and go spray a hose on and try and write at the same time. You have to have two people.
Well, I mean, or you could hold the hose with one part. You could strap the hose to your leg.
Whoops.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hanging off the side of the helicopter.
Oh, and right. But
no, you wouldn't be inside riding, shooting a hose up at the ceiling. Obviously, that doesn't work.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Am I taking crazy pills?
You are taking crazy pills.
No, I have.
So I joke around about reading to kids being a great job. I actually, for every Wednesday while my daughter was in elementary school, would go and read to children.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's a blast.
Why do I not remember that?
Walt Whitman Elementary, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Down by my folks' house.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they teach Walt Whitman there?
you know, it was a little advanced for the young readers, but I taught poetics in my own way.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mostly by kids walking home, you're like, hey, kid, come here.
No.
You want some
Check
Walt
this
Whitman?
Out. Check this out. This is a book by Walt Whitman. Take it home, read it. Don't let your parents see.
No, kid running to get...
You would do that,
no,
by the
no,
way.
No. Kid running to get in the front of the line for lunch, he'd trip over the carpet and fall, and be like, kids, that's poetic justice.
Wow.
Just all right. Kidding. All right. So, we do have a caller from Connecticut. Please welcome Barbara.
All right. So, we do have a caller from Connecticut. Please welcome...
She
Hi,
cut
guys.
Me off real quick. Please
Hello,
welcome...
Barbara.
How are you?
How can I... I follow Cynthia all the time, and her voice, God, how can you compare that voice? Okay. Anyway.
To a summer's day, that's how.
Yes, compare it to a summer's day.
How do you do that?
Evening, or just a spa. I think of Cynthia's voice. If I had a spa, I would, like, hire her.
I was going to say, she could do, like, the directions at the airport.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just...
Or...
And now you're going to lie down on
you know what else?
The thing, and we're going to cover you with a sheet.
Guided meditations. Those are called, you need to look into that.
Those are called ASMR, and they're on YouTube. You know what she could do that would actually be very useful? And this is a little bit darker-minded, but it's true. When there are robots and drones that are actually enforcing laws or whatever, we could use Cynthia's voice to say very kind of mean, threatening things, but in a peaceful way.
Could be, yes. Ask her that. I don't think she'd do that.
It would keep people calm. Oh, well, she wouldn't do it. I very seriously doubt Cynthia would do it, but that would be an amazing use for a voice
Cynthia
like that.
I doubt Cynthia
would do it. Oh, I doubt no. she would. I so, wouldn't ever think
so,
she would.
Okay. So it was Emily Dickinson's birthday this week.
Uh-huh.
Good transition.
And you're going to do a poem by her?
Or today, yes. So I found a poem that I thought would work. It's called... Shall I take thee, the poet said, by Emily Dickinson. Shall I take thee, the poet said, to the propounded word? Be stationed with the candidates till I have finer tried. The poet searched philology and went about to ring for the suspended candidate. There came unsummoned in that portion of the vision the word applied to fill. Not unto nomination, the cherubim reveal. In poem.
There you go, showing the way, doing a cover. I like that.
Well, I thought Emily Dickinson, you know, you can't go wrong with Emily Dickinson.
Dickinson, Plath, the whole run of the gambit there.
Well, you know, she has like zillions of poems that they found. She only had 10 published, and then after she died, they went and they looked at her poetry, and they found all of these poems that had never been published.
Yeah. When I first started embracing my inner poet, as Michael guided me to do that, I'd had a significant collection not published. I'm like, if I kick it, my daughter's going to be a rich girl. So, and she still might be.
I don't
be.
Know, but just thought I might do that because I was going to do the poem that's in the book, you know, but then I thought, no, that's just so egotistical. So
way to think outside the box.
I will save that for next week. And, you know, and there is a show next week, right?
Yes, next week, but the week after that, no.
No.
Yeah, the day after Christmas, we're reserving. But New Year's Day,
we are having a show.
Yeah, we're
having one New Year's.
Oh yeah, we're kicking off the year, and we actually have a really big announcement on New Year's Day of our new goal for 2016 and beyond.
I'd forgotten about that. No, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys,
man up, buddy. Here we go.
Yep, we got to gird up our loins for this new.
Oh yeah, this is so it's such a big thing. It kind of makes us nervous, actually.
It really makes me nervous.
Well, you know, you have to branch out. You have to get, you know, stronger and go more places. I mean, that's my goal, is constantly to move forward. So.
Oh, that ours as well. That's true. So you have to set things that are daunting and take steps to make them happen. So that's what we're doing.
Yes. And you have to set reminders for yourself. I was really mad at myself this week because I went to one thing. I had to go to a crash viewing. Have you ever been to a crash viewing?
Define crash viewing because I'm
crashes. All of these like
crash. Scenes, I heard crash, scenes. And I was a former firefighter, and I'm like,
well, I'm thinking crash viewing. Crash viewing. I'm like, that's what we do every Friday night. What are you talking about?
Manger scenes, but not just manger scenes. I sent some photos to a few people, and they're just incredible. She has 200 in her house.
Nice.
From everywhere, from just all done by hand. Unbelievable. So I went to that. And for this same group that I went to for this, I was supposed to go to a luncheon. And I paid the money. Did this ever happen to you? I hope somebody has had it happen to you. I paid the money and then didn't go.
What?
Yes. My calendar did not remind me. I forgot all about it. And
what about Benjamin Franklin? A penny saved is a penny earned.
Wow. I didn't get the food.
I think it was Mark Twain that said, "J. Todd, get your underwear out of a twist. Calm down. People get their calendar mixed up." That's a Mark Twain quote.
That's a pretty prophetic Mark Twain quote.
He's pretty good. He's almost like Nostradamus, but for little things.
So has it ever happened to any of you that you got your calendar mixed up and you know, missed something?
I would love to say that so I could empathize. It's never like we've set up a photography shoot and I've said wrong place and then J. Todd went across town and then JT and I were hanging out having coffee going, "Where is J. Todd?" That's never happened. So I can't empathize.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to, validate that. So
no, it's definitely happened. Definitely happened, Barbara.
Okay, well, see you next week, and have the next, I guess, two more people coming on after me, so I'm getting off. Okay?
Awesome.
All right. Bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Now, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, Michael, but Barbara is the host of Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages.
Have you ever tried saying that like the guy from Princess Bride?
No, I've
Wed Wiva Wadio?
Wed Wiva Wadio? No, Red River Radio.
Marriage here on Wed Wiva Wadio.
Wow.
Brought to you by Baba Wawa.
Yeah, see? There you go. With featuring Baba Wawa.
No, that is not Barbara Wawa. That is Barbara Arantruh.
Oh, of course. No, of course. I figured that maybe Barbara Wawa would want to come have some.
That would be really cool.
And she could
was
run some interviewing
on
tips.
That show?
You can call Conjure Leaves for Rice and see if we can get Barbara Wawa.
You know, she might know Barbara Wawa.
Yes.
I'd be like, "Rice, sup? Call Wawa. We're going to make this happen.
Arantruh,
on we're
making
Wadio.
It happen."
All right, let's move on.
All right, so we do have another poet calling from the great poetry state of Michigan. Please welcome Chris.
"And you guys never sent J. Todd off somewhere knowing that you were sending him to the wrong place."
Right. That's what they said.
Chris, I take full responsibility for that one. Yeah, man, that was all on me. All on me.
Funny thing is, when we were setting it up, I'm like, the place right behind my parents' house. And did they go anywhere near my parents' house?
Nope.
No.
Nope. We didn't.
Heck no.
That'd be too easy.
Oh, gosh. Well, you gotta love it. You know, you ought to be repeat callers and groups of five again as well. Not because it's more time, but because it would keep the attitude of the show going the same way.
Hmm.
Okay. And you never know, you might get another person to call back in on the next segment, so to speak.
That's something we will consider and explore.
Because, I mean, you've already broken it into five, and you are keeping people down to one, so.
Yeah, we like to give each other five.
Yeah, but that would keep things going again. Anyway, for this one, I wanted one that said something that if I had read it here before, it hadn't been too soon. And then I said, well, I had a website that just went poof. The people that owned it closed it down. And that was before I learned to save religiously line by line.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I think I lost about 400 or so.
Ouch.
It was interesting. Then I found an old hard drive that had somehow miraculously kept a good portion of them.
Nice.
Anyway, the site used to be called Minstrel's Haven. And it was a free site, you know, but free sites are like that. They go away.
Yeah, they are.
Well, even even paid sites go away, too. Depends. Anyway, getting back to things, I found one on there that I had read on the show. And I found one on there that I wanted to read on the show, but it was too many Senrus all in a row. And you'd lose the sense hearing them, but you'd see the sense reading them. It makes a difference.
It does.
So I said, nah and nah. And then I came across this one, and this one says it all. And I think you guys, you have your own family and your own history. And if you think back on it while I'm reading this, I think it'll put you in a different mood. I call it recycle. Granny has survived many things, even people and family. And having to live with a never allowed to be forgotten mindfulness toward her married daughter. Events, all the hallmark signs of her times. She knew those places firsthand. Before there were tracks to be from the wrong side of, had been and still was. Then, a sweatshop seamstress, a piecemeal wanderer, oft times a pure bitch, except to me that loved her. That woman had a tongue and a meanness and a hardness and a way of smiling, really smiling, just because I'd walked miles just to see her. Weekly, and she knew it. And we talk about nothings, boy things, Zane Grey and Max Brand Westerns, My Dreams, and play some Pinochle, single deck, then double deck, 500 Rummy. And somehow, just as I was leaving, there always, always, silver dollar, never paper. Always the hard, palm-sized circle that appeared in my hand and the whispered, shh, don't let your aunt know. Purest magic, real magic. Because now I know she didn't get silver dollars and change at the A&P or the bank or from anywhere. Not then. And I never thought their cost. And now she's gone. Mom had survived many things. Husbands, people, and family. Events. All the hallmark signs for times. She knew those places firsthand. From alongside of the tracks places. You can never seem to escape. I never knew her dreams, just lived through her choices. just the fears, just the anger and the tears and not being good enough, her nor I, and all the years of escaping memories and realities. That woman had a tongue and a meanness that just cut, and a hardness. Yet ducklings waddled after her. And I remember all the shoeboxes of motherless baby birds through all the years. And a way of smiling, really smiling. Just because I drove miles just to see her. And we'd talk and talk about nothings, yard sales, markets and dolls, family, bingo, places I'd been, my dreams. And somehow, just as I was leaving, there was often a 5 or a 10, and God forgive me, I took them, without a thought of their cost, and now that I know what each one cost, she's gone. I have survived many things, even people and family, events, all the hallmark signs of the times. I know those places firsthand, both sides of the tracks places, and even some you can never seem to escape, you know? I've touched day and nightmares and dreams, mine and others. Smiled and cried. I have a tongue, a meanness and a hardness, and a way inside. Dogs and cats and even mice always recognize and crowd near. I know what things cost and make choices, hard choices, as I must because I can. Choose what needs chosen, do what needs being done now till I'm gone. And I've got to do the end.
Very well done, Chris. As always, masterfully delivered. I'm always impressed with what you bring to our show.
Well, that's recycle, and like I said, think about your family, your grandparents, your parents, you, your kids. Think about how it goes and how each bit of our lives sort of recycle. Just recognize what the cost is.
Thank you, Chris. It's very timely for our crew here, but we'll leave that unsaid on the air. But thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
You too.
Have a great one. Catch you next week.
Catch you next week.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Very poignant poem for this evening. Wow. You know, there a lot that happens to me a lot is there'll be one or two callers per show that just absolutely touch me.
Hit you at the right angle.
Hit you, yeah.
Yeah.
And it happens on occasion. And thank you, Chris, for everything you bring to our show.
Absolutely. All right, we have one more.
We have one more Chris.
Now, we have one more Chris. Now, this guy, he's been on hold for a while. He's never called the show before. I don't even know if he's put us on hold or what's going on. I've been sending him insults through text.
Let's hope.
The whole
so
time.
Nice.
I've known this guy since I was 13 years old. He's a drummer out of L.A.
All right.
This is Chris.
Chris, are you with us? Hello?
Hey, Chris. See, I wonder if I see that's the thing. I wonder what he's doing right now.
Hey, well, I'm doing well.
I wonder if he's, like, buying a burrito or something. Chris.
Yes, hello.
Hey, there you are. Okay, so your service is a little weird. Okay, that's what's going on. How's it going?
It's going just fine. We want to thank you so much for taking that phone call.
Of course.
And I have to call a few servers and get her a little bit of service without calling in.
Okay.
But, you know, eventually, she kind of decided that the night was too high, so they just kind of got a little bit. And, yeah, we just keep going all the time. And,
all right, Chris, we can barely hear you. Can you stand on top of the cell tower for just a few moments?
Or raise the microphone?
Yeah, your cell signal keeps dropping really, really low.
Are you in the middle of Utah?
No, actually. I'm in
Rawlings, Wyoming. Even better. Why wasn't I thinking of that?
And you didn't invite us?
All right. All right. So, Chris, unfortunately, man, we can't make it out, and I really apologize.
No, we're making it out. He can't make it out of Wyoming with the cell signal.
No, I mean, there's just, you know, it's a, man, that's just a disservice to Chris and to everybody else.
And it's a huge disservice to Rawlings, Wyoming. If you've ever been there, that place is a metropolis.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, when Chris goes to Rawlings, Wyoming, it suddenly becomes a cooler town.
It does. Well, like no matter what town Chris goes into. Now, I'll share the story anyway,
okay,
since he wasn't on the air. All right, so Chris was a drummer here in Denver before he moved out to L.A., and we were playing this dive bar at Colfax, and he comes in with these drumsticks, and he pulls up this wooden chair, and he starts tapping it and realizing that there are different tones all throughout this chair, and he starts playing this chair like a drum set and really working it, and I'm like, holy cow, this kid is talented.
Chris is a super talented kid. He was the really quiet kid in high school that I just knew had a hilarious sense of humor. And you'd never know, but he'd come to school and have a pair of shoes with, you know, like a huge money symbol on the bottom.
Really?
And he's like he'd be like, check out my new kicks, boss. What? Who is this guy? No, he was great, and we played in a lot of bands together and everything like that. And so he's a great friend. I got to hang out with him the other night, and it was cool being able to see somebody I haven't seen in a long time that I have a tight connection with.
We have him trying one more time. Do we want to try and pop him back?
Let's try it quickly, but we'll see.
Chris, is your cell service better?
Yes. I hope that Rawlings does provide better cell phone service. Can you hear me better this time?
Just ever so slightly. It's still really bad.
Let me talk to someone real quick and see if I can speak up just one moment. Is that just a little bit better for you?
Yes.
If I speak up?
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much. We apologize for the again, and thank you for taking our phone call once again.
What are you going to share with us tonight?
It's really lovely to be talking to you guys. We're very excited about that. I have been chosen as a representative, if I may, to sort of exercise a couple of demons for a few people.
Oh.
And I was curious would be so kind as to, I just want to, inspiration to, you know, sort of open mic, spirit of open mic, and the ethos, things of that nature. If I may, my name is Chris. However, I usually go by the name Ernest.
Hermit?
That makes
Ernest,
sense.
Ernest.
Yeah.
Ernest.
Ernest. Yeah. Okay. That's what I would do.
And yes, depending upon, let's just say, the festivity of the atmosphere, or if there's any, you know, alcoholic drinks and vibe, I might go by Ernesto. so this evening I'll probably just say is earnest. That's not.
Okay. All right. So you're about halfway there.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the front of a multiple personality brain. I've been diagnosed with DID for many years.
All right.
I get along with all of my alters tremendously well.
That's good
news. We all are different facets of one person, except for one who goes by the name of Charles. And Charles is a lovely and beautiful soul. And we've had many running dialogues, sort of conversations throughout my lifetime. He's always been there for me. But Charles has one very big hang-up, which I was hoping that you guys might be able to help me with.
All right, what's that?
We're here.
It's been getting worse over the last few years to the point where it's, frankly, I'm not able to ignore it. But I'll wake up to strange poems written by Charles.
All right.
Every day.
And does Charles have one he wants to share with us? Just as an example, this is a scientific study here.
Sure. Well, that's kind of one of the sort of reasons I was calling to check if the content was kosher. Charles always writes about the same sort of, object, the same sort of, object of his fascination. I'll be blunt. He is an artist. I believe he's a once-in-a-lifetime artist and a genius. However, he only and specifically writes about wrapping cling film around Bob Ross.
Really?
Yes. He will go on in any sort of stanza after stanza, sonnet after sonnet, play after play. Volumes of work about wrapping cling film around Bob Ross.
So he's the Shakespeare of Saran, then? Is that what you're calling him?
Yes, in some sense.
All right.
So it's non-sexual, it's non-threatening, but it's moving in many different ways. And I was hoping, as part of sort of exercising the sort of thing, that I'd be able to read a very brief one with you.
All right.
It's a rare occasion that I have one to read, and because he's very self-conscious, and I'll read one of his poems, and then the next moment I'll find that they've been burned. I will lose time, and then I'll find that the poem is an ash.
Well, be careful with this one, because I don't want it to go up in flames in your hands.
No, this is, as I said, we talked long and hard about this. We had a sort of internal sort of dialogue, and we decided that tonight we're going to try and, I think, as part of...
All right. Without further ado, let's go ahead and hear the Robert Foster Reynolds rap.
Yes. This is called Beat the Devil Out of It. Here, listening. The lights are hot. I'm going to scrape the bottom of the bucket. There's mesh inside. Tap the rim. Wipe. Once, twice, three times. Cadmium streaks littering the floor. Pull out the object of my affection and eye it. Show it to the camera. Look at the post of the easel. Beat the devil out of it. And if you're okay, the next part is where the cling film stuff starts. That's all right. Excuse me, I'm uncomfortable. I'm trying to make this, I'm reading as I go, it's kind of making sure it's appropriate to wrap him in my arms. The bellow of the Saran wrap makes my heart ache. I wrap the first piece around his hair. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. strip again. Another bellow. Another wrenching crash. The saran wrap groans in my hands. Again, wrap around. Orbiting Bob. Orbiting and wrapping, mummifying him until all that's left, the right hand. The right hand that holds my heart. There's 15 more stanzas.
Time, go for it.
No.
Oh. All right. Tell Charles. Tell Charles we're sorry. We have to interrupt this poem at this point in time. But we do think that he is the Garrison Keillor of Glad Rap.
I think he's got a real future as a rapper.
He got that. Charles is having a good time with that one.
I'm glad to hear that. That's something.
That would feel like a good weight has been lifted off of myself and Charles.
I'm glad we could help with that.
Yeah. It's interesting, and it's difficult to understand where this fascination came from, but he always, I know this is a radio show, so you can't show people the pictures, but it's very expressive and very sort of detailed with his rapping with Bob Ross.
Well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say, radio's kind of a limiting medium. We can't show the pictures on the radio, but I totally get it.
But, you know, I think the thing is...
This is not sexual. I need to stress as well.
Right, yeah. That never even crossed our mind, you know.
Purely platonic.
Very platonic, happy little trees. Chris, thank you so much for that contribution. That was really eye-opening. And Charles, thank you so much for... being brave enough to allow him to share your work.
And Ernest, thank you for bringing him all forward for us, too.
Yeah, I feel comfortable saying that you can call me Ernesto at this point.
Ernesto?
Oh, okay. Right. All right, wonderful. So we started with Chris, and now it's Ernesto.
Well, no, it was Ernest, and he was bringing forth Charles's poetry, but now he's Ernesto because he's more comfortable with us.
Follow
the conversation.
Okay, I'm sorry. I lost it.
I believe that there's a festive enough atmosphere in the sort of ether to warrant that. So I greatly appreciate it. And we greatly appreciate your time.
Awesome. Ernesto, anytime you want to call our show, please do.
Thank you so much, and have a nice evening.
That was Ernesto with Charles and Chris and Ernest on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Quite possibly the weirdest phone call we've ever had.
That was pretty...
out there. Wow. I felt like I was doing Art Bell for a moment.
There's been a few moments where he felt like that here. All right, I'm just waiting for some point we're going to have a caller who calls in and reads a great piece of poetry and then says with a completely straight voice, and also I'm a werewolf. I'm just waiting for that to happen.
I can see that happening on this show too.
Well, thankfully we won't have to worry about that because we won't be on the air on Christmas night because that's a full moon.
Ooh, werewolf on Christmas.
See? Telling you.
Why isn't that written?
Well, it is now.
Very hairy Christmas. Hairy, scary Christmas.
Have a hairy Christmas.
That usually goes out on all my Christmas cards.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the half squatch.
Oh, that's the one where you always take a picture of you laying half naked on a bear rug.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
a bear
on a rug.
Oh, a bear on a rug, not there an actual bear rug.
Right.
You just lay an actual living bear on a rug, and then you take a picture of you laying on top of the bear?
Of course. Don't you? You don't?
No.
Oh.
No, I do the smoking jacket thing. And
oh,
I say
okay.
weird phrases that make people wonder what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So, return engagement is done.
We're ready. Do you have a submission, Michael?
Do you have a submission? Do you want me to read?
Recovering here.
That was quite an entertaining phone call.
That was amazing. Okay.
Ernesto, thank you.
Yeah, Ernesto, that was fabulous. Okay.
Words cannot describe that.
Words cannot describe what we just heard. All right, so this one is from Michael Collins, not the character that Liam Neeson played.
Okay.
in the film. Just if in case I needed to clarify, this is not an Irish.
But are you going to read it?
Or Scottish revolutionary?
Huh? Are you going to read it in Liam Neeson's voice?
Liam Neeson's voice. I don't think it's possible.
Okay.
No, don't.
All right. No, that just wouldn't work. All right, so this is from Michael Collins. It's called 8 a.m. 8 a.m., the sun was blazing, full summer heat. I looked at you, all I could see, shame and defeat. And I fool myself constantly, give in way too much. You steal for drugs that steal your soul, a toxic crutch. The new toy in the garage wrecked, you drove it mad, the fear and intimidation. You are just bad. I cannot bear to be with you, my only son. Hard love is harder for a mother. It must be done. Give me the strength to fight these tears or cry them out. I cannot come home to this house to scream and shout. Just look into the mirror, please. Stop your abuse. Behavior you reserve for me is just a ruse. Blame him, blame her, and blame me. But no, not you. There is no sense of right or wrong. What can I do? No more a child, yet not a man. Again you rage. Some wild beast has just escaped from out its cage. Forgive me, God, though all I ask may never be. Alone in these shadows, I am as lost as he. That's a very powerful one from Michael Collins called 8 a.m.
Holy cow. And if you want to submit like Michael Collins, go ahead. You're on our website. Just hit the contact form, copy and paste your poem there. And Michael will read as many as he can per show.
Yeah.
And then if there's any left over, then he holds them over for the next show. All right. Very well read, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm debating on whether I should share this or not. I'll do it. I wrote this one this week as well. This is dedicated to all the people that are still in the backwoods little town that I grew up in called Felton, California. This is entitled Words of Warning. When my mother was still my mommy, when I was just a child with his evil Knievel lunchbox, she warned me not to go where the luthiers work. She said that it always smelled like a skunk was living in the shop. She said that their name designated that only people who were Capricorn or Taurus could go there. And you, my son, are Aquarian. Your age will dawn. The music that came out of the shop, enticing and enchanting. I always equated the smell, though, with the warning, never entering the shop. When my mother was my mom, and I was just a teen, she warned me not to linger on the bridge on Rose Acres Lane. She said that was where the burnouts hung out, and they continued to fry their mind. She said that there was danger in their way of life, and a mind once damaged cannot be restored. You possess a beautiful mind, enticing and enchanting, one which will be shared with the world. Now my mother is just a memory, and I provide warnings of my own, but I look back and remember those days, looking at my life I chose, the prophetic words in my mother's voice. I observe the family traits she saw as well. Temptation beckons the youthful wonder, enticing and enchanting. I know the anguish she felt, knowing that there's nothing I can do, powerless to stop genetic predisposition. Only words to warn of coming danger.
Very good.
Thank you.
I like that.
That was, it was just something that came creeping out of my head, and I'm like, where did that come from? Okay, good.
Man.
That's a lot of my poems. They'll end up on paper before I realize that I'm actually finished writing them. I'm like... I'm just like a lightning rod for the muse.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of what it is. And a lot of times in any art form, in music and poetry and all of that, you kind of have to put it down on paper to figure out what you were talking about. It's like you put it down, and then a few months later, you go, "Oh, that's kind of what was going on." Okay.
Yeah. So that does it for our show tonight. for Michael, JT, and myself, we want to thank you for tuning in. We want to urge you to tune in next week at 8 p.m. Fridays.
Tell some friends about us.
Tell your friends about us. Chris threw out that challenge. Invite one friend. Bring one friend to share your poetry. We thank you guys for tuning in. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.